investing in growth. That's the next value we're going to be talking about here at Life Talks. And I'm Ben. I'm here with Dan. We're the teaching pastors at Life Fellowship Church here in Cornelius, North Carolina. And I'm not sure if you knew this, but we're actually, this is more than just a podcast. They're now videoing us, Dan.
Yes.
Do you realize that?
Yeah, it's a little intimidating. No picking your nose.
Okay, so I'm trying not to pick my nose.
I just scratched my nose.
I just did that. But here's the thing. I felt so self-conscious about, because we just started, you know, recording these, and I don't know why, because who would want to watch us? I mean, we've got faces for radio, as they say. but we do have these, but here's what happened. I went to the restaurant today for lunch. I was meeting with one of our, you know, staff pastors here. We were talking about a project we're working on, and it was the Mexican restaurant. And you know, they always bring out the salsa and the chips, mm-hmm. you know, out to the table. Mm-hmm. And so my first bite, I grabbed the chips, I dipped the salt, and I was talking to him, and I missed my mouth, and the chip kind of crumbled, and the salsa spilled on my pants and on my shirt. And I'm just like, I just missed a chip to my mouth. Like, what is wrong with me? But here's the problem. We're videoing this.
Yes.
So now I'm self-conscious that there's salsa spots.
Salsa
that
spots.
People can see on my clothes right now.
You know that old Carly Simon song, "You're So Vain."
We just talked about living in community and vigilism, and I'm just like, I don't want people. I'm bringing that up, number one, to plug the video. If you'd like to go on YouTube or Podbean and watch us actually talk...
Yeah,
on Life Talks.
To know what we look like if you hear our voice.
If you want to do that, I'm letting everyone know that that is available. And I'm also letting you know, if you can spot the salsa stains on my jeans and my sweater, I'll give you a quarter.
Thank you, Grandpa.
Okay. Let's get into today's topic, Dan. So we are now in this reminding us as a church family who we are. Pursuing at all costs a passionate, God-centered life. That's what we want to be about at Life Fellowship. And that life is not just an individual life. It is an acrostic, L-I-F-E, living in community, investing in growth, finding your purpose, and embracing the Great Commission. And today, we're going to be talking about the I, investing in growth. And so, growth is a word mm-hmm. that can be loaded. Mm-hmm. So, what do we mean when we say growth?
Well, You know, because I'm an educator. My doctorate's in educational leadership. And I think you have to look at it from a variety of directions. There's a variety of areas in which we should be growing. We should be growing in our spiritual health. Mm. There should be spiritual growth taking mm-hmm. place. That's not only knowing, but it is also being and doing.
Yes.
So in all of the areas of education, there are three areas, the psychomotor, cognitive, and effective domains. And so that is what you know, what you do, and who you are, or knowing, being, and doing. Mm. So you have to ask yourself, spiritually, am I growing in my knowledge of the Word of God? Am I growing in what I'm doing with the knowledge that I gain from the Word of God?
Yeah.
And is it taking root in my heart so that it fundamentally changes my character and nature?
Yes.
And that's a work of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So those would be areas. But spiritually, that would be. But there's other aspects of that we need to. Am I growing emotionally? Am I growing in my relational health? Am I taking care of my body physically? And when I say growing, I'm not talking about necessarily adding pounds, but growing in a holistic way, that I'm stewarding the resources that God has assigned to me in a way that glorifies Him and is good for others. So when we're talking about investing in growth, I don't know that has to be specifically narrow. I think almost the knee-jerk response would be, am I learning more scripture? That's good. And the other thing is, am I learning more scripture at church? Because we're talking about Life mm-hmm. Fellowship, which mm-hmm. is a church. And I would say, yeah, that's good as well, but I don't want us to think in those narrow of terms. Mm-hmm. That growth looks broader than that and is more holistic than that. Mm. So I'm trying to think of I think it was Zig Ziglar that used to say, you'll be the same today. No, it was Charlie Tremendous Jones that said, you'll be the same today as you are in 10 years, except for the people you meet and the books you read. That's a great starting point for me. It's who in your life is speaking truth into your life? Who are you learning from? Who's mm-hmm. at whose feet are you sitting?
Yeah.
And there's so many different ways to do that. And then also in terms of the books you read, you know, who's filling your mind? Who's mm-hmm. who's educating your heart, soul, and mind? And so that's two good starting places to consider personal growth, investing in growth. And some of us just kind of assume that, well, yeah, I'm going to grow. I'm going to get smarter. I'm going to do better just because, you know, of osmosis. I'm just, you know, right. It's like walk around the planet. And there is some of that. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt we learn by example and watching observationally others. But, you know, intentionality and growth is very, very important. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're talking about.
So let me ask you a question, because you talked about those three realms in which growth happens. It's the, you know, knowing, being, and doing. And I think that's it's kind of a good, well-rounded understanding, you know, of what we need to be evaluating ourselves. But it's also fascinating to me how we can really only focus on one of them. So one of the things that you and I have talked about this, we've talked about this in our leadership teams, but there's a difference between knowledge-based discipleship and obedience-based discipleship.
Absolutely.
Right? And the knowledge-based discipleship is this understanding of, or spiritual maturity and spiritual growth comes from what I know, mm-hmm. right? But it's divorced from what I'm doing. And so what the obedience-based discipleship is saying, no, in order to truly be conformed into the image of Jesus, it's not just your knowledge is you're growing in knowledge, but you're also changing your behaviors, all right? Why do you think over the last, I would say, 50, 60 years, we have trended towards more of a information and knowledge-based discipleship emphasis, and we've left out the obedience-based? Why do you think that's been a hallmark of Western Christianity?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily even just Western Christianity, because Scripture warned of it. The Bible warned us. It said, beware that you're not like the man who looks in a mirror yeah. and sees his condition and then walks away without changing it.
Yeah.
It'd be like me waking up in the morning, looking in my mirror, seeing I need a shave and to do something with my bedhead, and I say, ah, that's good enough. Let me just go to work.
Yeah.
You know, the rest of the day I'm going to carry you know, an impression that I, you know, probably wouldn't want to do so because I've not taken action on what I saw to be true.
Hmm.
You know, and but the other thing too is just there comes an arrogance with collecting knowledge but not necessarily using it that we need to be aware of. C.S. Lewis called it, you know, educating a generation of clever devils. and we have to watch out for the idea yeah. that, you know, we can have all kinds of yeah. knowledge and still be devilish.
Yeah.
Even in our spiritual knowledge. And I think that is very much a hallmark, if not in the Western Church, the American Church of today's church, a Laodicean yeah. church that basically says, I've accrued knowledge, but I'm not doing anything with it.
Yeah. And I almost feel like sometimes you and I both grew up in legalism, right?
Yes.
And I would say legalism is discipleship, or maybe it's the obedience without the knowledge, or the being, right? Changing.
Yeah,
it's purely external.
Yeah, it's
right?
focusing on one part. Heavier.
And so I think sometimes there can be these swings mm-hmm. of reactionism that happen in our way we do things. That, man, people need to know the Bible more, and yeah, they do need to know the Bible more. And we cannot sacrifice one without the other. And so when it comes to investing in growth, to me, I think what we've got to do is just because we are emphasizing, hey, we're going to teach you these things, but if we also emphasize accountability, it doesn't mean we're being legalistic. Don't you find that sometimes people will throw out the legalism card whenever there's any kind of accountability to actually obeying the Word of God?
Yeah, we have these habits, and that's a perfect example of one of them. In order to to kind of dismiss something, we use a knee-jerk reaction, and I think legalism has become that for many people. You know, don't tell me what to do.
Yeah,
is basically what we're saying.
I just think it's really important that those three components, the knowing, being, and doing, all of those are, we're not knowing, right? We're not learning something. We're not information that's not also changing who we are and what we're doing. We're not growing in the being without knowledge. And, you know, all three of them work simultaneously. There's a synergy to all three of
them.
There's
a synergy, and there's a philosophical tension that I think needs to be recognized. And I think, I always believe that tension's a good thing, whether you're talking about Hegelianism, where, you know, you got a thesis and antithesis looking towards mm-hmm. the synthesis, or whether you're talking about, you know, just the tension that exists. Okay, so I know it. The tension ought to be, so what am I doing with it, and do I really believe it?
Yeah.
Or you say, well, I believe it. Well, if I really believe it, do I know it? And mm-hmm. if I know it, then what am I doing with it?
Yeah.
So anytime you look at it, there ought to be this tension that pulls us to the other aspects of learning. And that's where, you know, having a thoughtful approach to investing in growth is important.
Yeah.
It also requires some self-evaluation. What are some things in which I'm weak? What are some things that I should be doing that I'm not doing? And why am I not doing them? Mm. Is it a matter I don't know what to do? Is it a matter I really don't believe it's important? Mm-hmm. Or is it a matter where I'm just not practicing it? I mean, prayer is a good example of that.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who say, well, I need to be praying. In fact, everybody I know probably would say, I need to be praying more. But the question is, you ask yourself then, why am I not doing it? Do I not know how to pray?
Mm.
Oh, I do know how to pray. Okay, well, then do I believe it really works?
Mm.
I'm convinced of this. If most of us believed that prayer works, we'd be praying a whole lot more.
Yeah.
But I think if we're to be absolutely honest, we'd say, I hope it works. But I also hope rubbing the belly of a Buddha works too. You know? So we've got to make sure that we stop and ask ourselves, do I really believe this stuff?
Yeah.
And if not, then we need to start back at the basics again. And then we get to that question is, well, why am I not doing it? Is it not important?
Mm.
Is it because I rely on myself more than I rely on God? And again, that tension that requires us to look at more than just, am I doing it? That will help bring us to a fullness of maturity.
Yeah. So one of the things that at Life Fellowship we want to do to help people in their journey of growth, because all of us are on a different pace, all of us are different levels of maturity, but one of the things that we want to be a church that's known for is training and equipping our people for spiritual disciplines,
mm-hmm.
right? Like that is, spiritual disciplines have been around for, you know, since the time of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
right? That this idea of disciplining our bodies, disciplining our time, disciplining our souls to engage in spiritual activities,
mm-hmm.
right? What are the spiritual disciplines for you that you think are important for followers of Jesus to learn more about, not just understanding them, but to actually practicing them? You mentioned prayer. That when you mm-hmm. mentioned prayer, it kind of kicked my mind to the spiritual disciplines. So what are some other ones that you would say a follower of Jesus should know and practice these spiritual disciplines, because they're important to the shaping of who we are? What are some of those?
I cannot think of one that is more important, in my opinion, than reading, and I'm not stopping here,
okay.
reading and memorizing the Word of God.
Okay.
You know, when I was growing up, there was a heavy, heavy emphasis placed on memorization
mm-hmm.
that I rarely hear anybody talking about today.
Yeah.
To the point that we would often put memory verses on our dashboard and of our car, or on our mirror as, you know, we got ready in the morning, or on our bedpost we could look at before we went to bed at night. But there was an emphasis on memorization that I rarely see discuss today.
Yeah.
I will say this, during the course of, you know, my educational years up through high school, because I went to a private Christian school, because I was enrolled in Sunday school and all the other things that go with growing up in a church, I memorized hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of verses. And in ways today that I don't even know I'm capable of memorizing, because at some point you lose that fast memory ability.
Yeah.
I use those constantly. I don't even know sometimes that I don't realize I'm quoting scripture when I realize, hey, yeah, that's a passage.
Hmm.
And you know, it doesn't matter of where you have to say chapter and verse every single time.
Right.
Scripture has just become a part of the way you think. It used to be a little more common, even in common vernacular, there were a lot of expressions that were lifted from scripture that were just common in our culture, but that's less so today. So that emphasizes even more the need of reading and knowing the scripture, because that's like knowing the ABCs. It's like knowing your times tables. If you don't know the Word of God, you're not going to be able to go through the rest of the spiritual disciplines. But if I were to add one more to that, and certainly prayer is another one, but this one kind of goes with prayer, and that is the idea of meditation.
Glad you said that.
For me, meditation is difficult because I've got one of these minds like a hamster on cocaine. I mean, it's just like going 1,000 different ways all the time. So it requires discipline for
me. It does.
You know what I used to love to do? And I grew up on a farm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I used to love to plow. I'd get on a tractor with plows, because it didn't require a lot of thought. There were other things, you know, like disking and cutting hay were similar, because you had to take it. Here's the one: riding on a riding lawnmower while you're mowing. Because you have to, there's a pattern, and you can repeat. You don't have to think.
Yes.
So your mind is free, but you're actually doing something productive.
Yeah.
And that was great meditation time for me. I miss the fact I no longer mow my... No, that's a lie. I don't miss that at all. I miss the opportunity to think like I used to think when I was mowing my grass.
Yeah.
But getting apart from... And you know, sometimes it feels like you're not doing anything productive while you're meditating.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just sitting right now.
That right.
drive me crazy.
Right, yes.
Which is why I like the plowing and the yes. and the sitting on the lawnmower. But for us to assign time where we think thoughts that are worthy of God, that we ask God questions and listen to His Holy Spirit and His Word for how we should respond, those are important times of growth. They clear the mind. They release stress and tension. They clarify values. They help us prioritize. And we have filled every spare second with screen time and podcast, ironic, and all these different things that we no longer just think.
Yeah. I think that is so, I was going to say, you know, so you said reading and memorizing, prayer and meditation. I think those are core, right? I'm going to add two more that I think are important, and they have to do with, us, our natural inclination to indulge. All right. So I'm going to talk about fasting. I think fasting is a really important spiritual discipline, and then giving. I think both of those cut to the heart of the indulgent American lifestyle that, you know, if I can buy it, if I can consume it, it, you know, the more the better. Right. I think those are things that ultimately confront the me monster inside of all of us, the flesh inside of all of us. Whenever we are fasting, and most of the time when people fast, they fast with food. Sometimes people fast with other things. I mean, Lent is around the corner, Dan, and I know you're a huge practitioner of Lent.
Oh, not.
But the whole idea of Lent was, I'm going to give up something that's a distraction to my spiritual. I'm going to give up something in my physical, you know, realm. That's going to help me focus more spiritually. So, you know, I think that the idea of fasting, which has been around, you know, ever since the Bible's, you know, been around, the spiritual is this idea of I'm not going to eat for a number of reasons, whether I'm going to focus my heart purely on God, I'm going to mourn over sin, I'm going to express this desire, because when hunger and thirst are, because they are the greatest physical desires we have, to limit those physical desires or to say no to those physical desires is what you're saying, is the spiritual desire that I have for God, to you to answer this prayer, for me to mourn over this sin, is far greater than indulging in eating this meal. So whether you're fasting from food or whether you're fasting from technology or social media, I mean, there's a lot of different kinds of fasting you can do. But the reality is, what fasting does is it reprioritizes our hearts, and it puts in line our desires so that we're not just doing things the way what we feel. We're such feeling-based people. And if I feel like doing it, I'm going to do it. Or if I want to do it, I'm going to do it. And what fasting does is it puts a stop to that inclination of our flesh to say, no, I want to put every thought, every desire, every impulse under the control of the Holy Spirit. And just because I feel like doing something or feel like saying something doesn't mean I have to.
Yeah. Self-denial. It's a word we rarely use.
Self-denial.
But you see it throughout Scripture.
Yeah. So I think fasting is one. The giving one is also important, because what we're saying is, everything that God has given to me, I'm going to take the first fruits of what has been given to me. I'm going to give it back to God. That is a, it doesn't mean I'm not going to consume 100% of the things that have been given to me by God. And this goes all the way back. I mean, even in when God, for the nation of Israel, you talked about plowing, when they were plowing and then harvesting the wheat or the crops, you know, God said, you know, this is in Scripture. Hey, make sure you don't gather all of the wheat on your field. You don't, you know, leave the corners and leave the edges and leave the stuff that falls on the ground for the widows and the orphan. Like, you are supposed to allow people to take the, there should be an overflow that you allow people to have. And so, the tithe that was in the Old Testament, New Testament, I know we're under grace, but that 10%, that's kind of a a good rule. Am I disciplined enough to not consume 100% of what's been given to me? But am I disciplined enough to give that to God, the first fruits, or that 10% of what I've been given, so to back them to bless others, to bless the world, to bless the church, to bless God? And I think so fasting and giving are two ways in which spiritual disciplines that, again, confront that love of self, the self-denial, that we really need to really improve upon. So any other things about, I know we're running out of time, any other ideas about self or spiritual disciplines that you think is important to talk about before we enter?
Well, I think one of the things too is just be aware that your church is a place for resources in this area. You know, we use right now video mm-hmm. that people can use at home, but we offer Life University classes.
That's right.
Just coming to church is a part of, yeah. of investing in your growth.
Yeah.
It's part of living in community. It's also part of finding your purpose and embracing the Great Commission.
We don't have time to talk about this, but there are also corporate spiritual disciplines. Which singing, yeah. singing is one of
singing
them,
and worship,
right?
And I mean, prayer, that is and giving, and all of absolutely, yeah. they're all part of that. So you know, you again, I cannot overemphasize the fact that you need to be plugged into and active at your local church. And you know, there are three institutions God started: government, family, and the church. He thinks it's important that you be in mm-hmm. church. Mm-hmm. And in a post-COVID world, we need to make sure that we are prioritizing the things that God has clearly made priorities.
Yeah.
And so getting back to church, getting involved, getting plugged in, becoming an active participant is something that all of us need to be doing, because that will help us invest in growth.
That's good. Well, I hope as you're listening to this, you've been challenged. I know all of us at some level have to take ownership of our walk with God in our relationship with Jesus. We want to be a church that helps equip you, that helps engage and allow the Spirit of God to work in your heart, so that all of the ways in which God's calling you to obey Him, to know Him, and to be more like Him, we are here to do that together. So I hope you've enjoyed this conversation about investing in growth, and we look forward to join us next time.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well, so leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.